Tim read this earlier, but I think it's the crux of the whole Christian life. It's from Deuteronomy 28, and I'm just going to read four verses, but it said, "And the Lord will give you abundance for good. In the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your cattle, and in the fruit of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to the fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasury, the heavens, to give rain of your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. And you will lend to nations, but you will not borrow. And the Lord will," and I love this one, "and the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. And you will be above only, and you will not be beneath. If you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day to observe and to do them, and you will not go aside from any of the words which I command you this day to the right or to the left, or go to other gods to serve them." There's a chapter in the New Testament, Mark, that says the same thing. And I'm going to share a little bit about that. There was a cleric that was looking for a blessing in his life one day, and he was wondering whether there would be golf in heaven or not. And he prayed about it a lot, and finally he got an answer that said, yes, there's golf in heaven. There are many, many beautiful golf courses. He said there's, no sand traps. He said there was water around him. He said it's really beautiful. He said, and you'll have some of the nicest people in the world to play golf with. He said, it's just, great. And he thought, this is really marvelous news. And the voice from heaven said, oh, by the way, we've got you down for a foursome next Saturday. Many people believe that blessings come in the way of finance. They're going to get money. They win the lottery, so they've been blessed by God. Which might not be all bad. Some of them think popularity. Some of them think good looks. Some of them think being the President of the United States. Some people think that blessings come in a lot of different ways, but there are spiritual blessings, there are emotional blessings, there are family blessings, there are relationship blessings that come because of God's favor on what we do. And they only come because of God's favor. Tim and I were talking about this, and he said, you really want me to just read John 1:6? Yeah. So he said there was a kind of a gap there, and I said, there is. And I said, but I want to go on. What I want to do is talk about John, because John came, but he wasn't really who was coming. John came as a spokesman for Jesus, but if we look a little bit further down in that chapter in verse 12, it said, "And so many as did take him, he gave them authority to become children of God and to those who believed in his name." And so what John was saying was the person that come, it said, there's going to be somebody come that's just going to bless the life out of you. It's going to be so good, he said, you don't have any idea what's going to happen. The Amplified Bible says in John 1:12, "For out of his fullness, the superabundance of grace and truth, we have all received grace upon grace." Not just grace, but grace upon grace. Grace is a spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing. Favor upon favor. And gift heaped upon gift. The New Living Translation says, "From his abundance we have all received one gracious blessing after another." And when we stop and think and realize that, it's amazing what God has done to bless us. And it's all about his grace. There are no references, and we've talked about this in the Bible, where God did or did not answer prayer. There are no references in the Bible that I could find where God did not answer a prayer for blessing someone's life. There's a prayer in the bulletin today in your notes, and it says, I want to find favor in your eyes and be in good standing with you. If you see my heart is clean, I ask you to bless me spiritually, physically, psychologically, financially, and relationally. Grant me unprecedented favor in every area of my life, and there's nothing wrong with asking God to do that. Enlarge my territory and give me wisdom to manage the wonderful blessings that you will bring my way. That's the prayer of faith. The blessings you will bring my way. I will give you all the glory for the blessings you give me. In Christ's name I pray. There are five areas, and I'm going to go through these quickly, but five areas that God blesses us in a very profound way. The first one is the blessings on our family and the blessings that he has for our family. Imagine a world so depraved, so sinful, so full of sin that God could find one man, one person on the earth by the name of Noah, and he said, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless your family. I'm going to save you from what's coming because of your faithfulness and what you've done. Imagine a world filled with so much sin and devastation that he could only find one person. And I find that amazing. If we're looking for a blessing in our family, then we need to seek favor with God. There are things that are dividing your family. Seek God and get the power to break the cycle. I talked to a couple last couple weeks, and I told them that same thing. I said, has there been divorce in your family? No, mom and dad never been divorced. And the other person said, my mom and dad's never been divorced. And I said, what about, and we talked about some of the things going on. And I said, if you don't break that cycle of lack of communication, it's going to be the same way with your kids. They're going to see this. This was a couple that was separated. If you don't learn to talk and allow God to work in your family, then the path is going to be two different paths. And I said, it's not just two people walking away from a marriage, but I said, it's one person being broken apart. And I said, I've been there. That's not the road you want to go down. So God can bless our families. No matter how deep the water is, God can paint a rainbow bigger than the sky. He'll also bless our work, bless our productivity. He blesses the individual who works. He blesses the individual who gets up and provides for his family. There is a distinction between God blessing our efforts and blessing us for our efforts. It's two different things. The first thing, he'll bless us for what we attempt to do. But when we decide we're going to do them and we walk through and do them, he blesses us for what we have done. It doesn't just stop with half of it, or doesn't just stop with part of it. When there is no doubt in our heart that God will deliver us and God will provide a blessing in our lives, then he will do it. He'll provide a blessing in a time of need. God's sovereign. He knows what we need before we ever have to ask him. But he wants us to come to him and he wants us to ask him. There are places that we go and things that we do that he is right in the midst of them. It's interesting that in the Old Testament there's a long lineage of kings, but there's two verses that talk about one king. And this king prayed, he said, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free of pain." That king was Jabez. There's a book out called The Prayer of Jabez. It's worth the read. So he blesses our family, he blesses our work, he blesses our productivity, he blesses us when we have a need. He'll also bless our finances. And I thought, I was reading this week and some author wrote, said, all people have something in common, money problems. The rich are trying to protect theirs from taxes and lawsuits. The middle class struggle to make enough to plan for retirement and keep their home. The poor just want to keep their heads above water. And there's a lot of truth to that. There's a lot of truth to that. God owns everything. Four things to keep in mind. And when we die, they go to somebody else. I asked Dan Young the other night at the Thanksgiving service when we were standing there talking. I said, have you ever looked in somebody's pocket to see if they could take it with them? No, he said he hadn't, and I believe he hadn't, but, you know. There are people that say, you know, I'm going to take it with me. The Lord has everything at his disposal. Why wouldn't he want to share it with us? He doesn't need it. He wants to give it to us. We must remember that if we believe God is not interested in our money, he's concerned in every aspect of our lives, and he will bless us if our lives are in tune with what his will is. If God answers prayer for financial need, we need to be willing to do our part. It's very easy for me to make enemies on Facebook, because I believe that if you don't work, you don't eat. I believe if you're lazy, too lazy to go out and look for a job, I don't believe you deserve welfare. That's just my opinion. And I think it's probably an amen from a lot of people in here who didn't say anything. I really believe that. And so I put a comment on the other day about people, some people being lazy, and somebody came back with a response, well, when I was, you know, younger and I was a single mother, it's like, wait a minute, you missed the point. You did what you could do. You weren't lazy. But I also quoted 2 Thessalonians 3:10. Paul said, if you don't work, you don't eat. We got this whole welfare program wrong, folks. And there are people out there getting blessings from welfare. Now, there's need. I understand some people have a need. But it would shock a lot of people to know that it's the church's responsibility to take care of orphans and widows. It's not taxpayer dollars. Okay, I'm done with that. That wasn't in my notes, and when you get off your notes, sometimes you go the wrong way. We can also experience God's call, God's blessing on our calling and on our purpose. I'm going to come up here some Sunday morning with nothing prepared and see what happens. It's never too late to start walking in the blessing of God. I don't care who you are. It's never too late to start saying, God, bless me. I want to be in favor with you. I want your favor on my life. We are children of destiny. We are children born with a purpose. And if he's placed his hands on our lives, then he has placed his hands on a divine plan for those lives. It's amazing when we stop and think about it. There's a reason he put us here. There's a reason he put us here. And that reason is to build his church and to grow his church. As we look at a time of pledging for the kingdom and That's what we're going to do today, is to receive our pledges. God helps us to be fruitful. He helps us to provide. He blesses us financially. I don't think there's a person here that can't say that if we do our share, God more than abundantly does His share. He gives us ever necessary gift to fulfill our mission as to fulfill His mission. Psalm 67:1 says, "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face to shine upon us." For 2017, we have established a budget of $138,904. And you say, "Wow, that's a lot of money." And I think, "Wow, that's a lot of money." It is. It includes some work on the parking lot. If you've seen the parking lot, it's got some cracks in it. But if you look at it now, it's got some shiny black stuff on it. That part of that work's been done. And those cracks have been filled. And the contractor is going to come back and refill them and take care of and do some more work. We have increased our budget for utilities for the winter. You just never know what the winter is going to bring. Roger, our resident heating and cooling specialist, says that one of our furnaces could be on the last leg, and he nurses some of them back and works on the air conditioning and everything for us. And that is a blessing to this church that we have someone knowledgeable, but also someone willing to do it. I come in here a couple weeks ago, and I see Bud out trimming the bushes. There are people that do things that you would never know if you didn't just happen to drop by. Tim read, and I read from Deuteronomy, but Mark said, "Into the kingdom is money being added to your treasure in heaven. Give and men will give to you. Yes, good measure, pressed down." Just think about that. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will they pour into your lap. For whatever measure you use with other people, they will use in their dealings with you. So y'all got to sound like I'm from the South. Everyone got, hopefully, a pledge card. If you didn't, we have some. And we do this every year. Normally it's the Sunday before Thanksgiving, but this year we decided to do it afterwards because I wanted to tie in when we think about that blessing that God has given to us. A family of opportunity to serve. Operation Magi, an opportunity to give, an opportunity to be part of the kingdom. And so if you filled out your pledge card, I would encourage you to pray about it and see if there's anything else that maybe you could do. And if you can't, you can through the year. We would appreciate it. But I'm going to share something with you. I got this in an email from Tom this week, and I wrote back, and I think he labeled it, it's a keeper. And it really is. If you put a buzzard in a pen that is 6 by 8 feet and it's entirely open on the top, the bird, in spite of its ability to fly, will be an absolute prisoner. The reason is that a buzzard always begins flight from the ground with a run of 10 to 12 feet. Without space to run, it's its habit, it will not even attempt to fly, but will remain a prisoner for life in a small jail with no top. The bat. The ordinary bat that flies around at night is a remarkable, nimble creature in the air. Cannot take off from a level place. If placed on the floor or the flat ground, all it can do is shuffle and helplessly and no doubt painfully until it reaches some slight elevation from which it can throw itself into the air. Then at once it takes off like a flash. The bumblebee, if dropped into an open tumbler, will be there until it dies unless it is taken out. It never sees the means of escape at the top, but persists in trying to find out through the sides, near the bottom. It will seek a way where none exists until it completely destroys itself. People are next. In many ways, we are like the buzzard, the bat, and the bumblebee. We struggle with our problems and frustrations, never realizing that all we have to do is look up. That's the answer. The escape route and the solution to any problem is just look up. Sorrow looks back, worry looks around, but faith looks up. Live simply, love generously, care deeply, and trust in the Creator who loves us. That's real blessing when you get down to it. We are going to ask you to come forward and drop your pledges, if you would, into the basket up here. We have a intentionally designed large basket. You know I do not ask for money. And if you say I do, I'll tell you you're a liar. No, I don't ask for money. But this one time of the year when we really need to look at what can we do, this is what we can do. And if you're a visitor today and you don't think that's a true statement, ask somebody. God blesses us and has blessed this church tremendously. We come in this year so far under budget, and I don't see any reason why we won't from last year. Well, don't you have any money left over? Well, our pledges were down a little bit last year from the year before, if I'm correct. So there's always a need. And I debated about saying this. This is not about me, you. It's about God. When we did the budget this year, and we did the budget last year, and they said, would you like to hire an administrative assistant or do you want a raise? I said, hire someone. So you know what they did? They gave me a raise. This year's the same. It wasn't asked this year. We just, thanks to Bill Oliver, he brought this up at an ad council meeting. And so we've hired someone that I think is going to help us grow this church. And I am thankful that we found the right person. And I am blessed to have Emily in the office. But that means one other thing. And I'm not here crying on your shoulder. But there are a lot of pastors that have poorer results than we have. And we've had some excellent results. The 2 years that we've been here, it's not us. It's God. Because we look up. And so think about what your pledge is. Give it some real deep thought. And I'm going to ask Greg and the band if they would come up or whatever and just play something while we do this. And we'll have have the offering after that and concluding him. But just, you know, pray about it. Think about it, and I'm sure you have already. But it's a vital part of what we do at Ross. God bless you.